Let's take a look at the top of Beis and Beis. If we have some time, maybe we'll see a bit of the issues in the bottom of Beis and Beis as well. Gemara Beis and Aleph opened with a question. We talk about Avos here, implying that they're told us, which gets us wondering about the relationship between those Avos and those told us. If I want to know, so I told Saint Yotze and Lav Yotze, and which model the Toldos of Nezikin follow the model of Toldos of Shabbos, or do the Toldos of Nezikin follow the model of Toldos of Tumah? And so the Gemara came to the initial brief conclusion by Rav Papa that one liner, Yeshmak Yotzevan, Yeshmak Lav Yotzevan. That some, yes, some not, that Nezikin lies somewhere in between Shabbos and Tumah in terms of the models. And the Gemara says, well, that's interesting. Number one, we mentioned that the fact that the Gemara says that Yesh V'Yesh is neither Shabbos nor Tumah, and that by the end of the sugya, yesh v'yesh means like 99 to 1. It's not half and half in terms of the toldos of Nezikin. Almost all toldos of Nezikin are Kehotzen, with one exception that gets in Gilma Beis, which is Shavos. But that perhaps is what drove the top toldos of Beis and Beis and the other Rishonim to wonder how could it be that there's an exception in the world of Tumah. If it seems like the impression you get is Shabbos is totally Kotzman, Tumah is totally Lav Kotzman, and Nezikin is the one that's somewhere in between. It's mostly this way, but a little bit that way. So Rav Papa gives us this one-line response, Yeshman Kotzman, Lav Kotzman, top of Beis and Beis, and that begins the Gemara on over a blot of analysis. It's a little bit, it's reminiscent. You know, sometimes you have a Baruch Ber, Birka Shmuel, will say, Akasha, my Rebbe Reb Chaim gave the following answer. He'll quote like three or four or five words. He has three lines of titles, getting overwhelming respect for Chaim. Adoni Mori Virabi, Rav Moshe Kol Yisrael, etc. All the honorifics. Reb Chaim said, boom, boom, boom. Five, six words. And then he'll spend the next number of paragraphs trying to analyze what Reb Chaim meant. So yeah, the Papa Mamar said, a line. Yeshua Gilson, Yeshua Gilson, the Gemara spends over a blot trying to figure out Pshat and those nine words of this late Amora of Papa. The Gemara begins with a Tana Rabbanan. We want to know which of us have Tosus Gilson, which of us have Tosus Lav Gilson. The Gemara begins discussion with the Tana Rabbanan. As you saw, Tosus, the Yamasal Tana Rabbanan, feels the need to tell us that this is part of the analysis of Rav Papa. The reason why he feels need to tell us is because Tana Rabbanan almost always begins a new discussion, a new thread of discussion, new Shaka V'Tarya. Instead of beginning with a Mishnah, if the Shaka V'Tarya begins with a Braisa, so Tana Rabbanan quote the Braisa, then we'll go from there. You have a Shaka V'Tarya that begins with a Mishnah and a different Masechta, often a Mishnah from Zeram or Taurus, of Tanan Hassan, quote the Mishnah, then go from there. But every once in a long while, Tanan Hassan or Tana Rabbanan could be in the middle of a Shaka V'Tarya. Sometimes you have a Did Tana Rabbanan that we recognize as being part of the flow. Here it's with no Dalit. As the Talmud need to point out, this is an exceptional use of the term Tana Rabbanan. We're introducing a Braisa from the outside, but as part of the flow. Rav Papa just told us Yesh V'Yesh, the Tana Rabbanan, three of us by Shar, Karen, Shane, and Rego. And that gets us started on first Karen over the course of Beis and Beis, and then going on to Gimel Aleph, Shane and Regel. What's the Av? How do we know? What are the Toldos? And then let's see whether those Toldos have the same din as the Av or not. The Gemara quotes a second Braisa, the source of Karen, Ditana Rabbanan. It sounds like a mechilta in Parshas Mishpatim. What does the Torah keep talking about? Ki yigach, what does that mysterious term negicha refer to? So the Braisa says, I'll bring you not one but two psukim to prove that negicha is something an animal does with its horn. Pasuk in Melachim, the pasuk of Tzidke ben Kenana, who made artificial iron horns and he used them as a prop in delivering his false prophecy of hope. He tells the king that you will be very successful against Aram. He made that up. HaKadosh Baruch had not told him that. And he used these Karnei Barzel as a prop. He said, Be'elati Nagach es Aram. So you see that Negicha refers to the Karnayim. And then the second pasuk is the pasuk of Zos Avraham B'chor Shara Hadrlo Karnei Re'im Karnov Be'em Amiri Nagach. He's Nogeach with the Karnayim. Those, and the Gemara wants to know, why did... Before we move on to discuss one of the toldos of Karen, we first want to know, why the Bryce, okay, and now I know you've proven that Negicha, when the Torah speaks about Negicha, several paragraphs in Mishpatim, the old deal of Negicha, that means goring with horns. The Gemara says, now you gave me, before I didn't know, I didn't have enough source, now I have too much source. Why do you give me two different psukim, both ostensibly making the same point that Negicha is Bekaren? Why wasn't it sufficient to just quote the first pasuk? And the Gemara gave two answers to that question. The first answer we tendered was that, well, maybe the first pasuk is not sufficient because it's from Nevi'im. It's not from Chumash. And the Gemara invoked the principle of Divrei Torah with Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfina. We don't learn Dinim Daraisa from Divrei Kabbalah. From things that appear in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So just before we move on from that, what's the term and why is it true? The point that we showed him here discuss whether that's really Kivalah or Kabbalah. Does it mean that it's Kivalah is the sermons that the Nevi'im gave, because Nevi'im Achronim is full of drushes that they gave, and they were kovel, they complained about different shortcomings of Klal Yisrael. There are different things they need to improve on and change, walk away from different terrible errors. It's Divrei Kivalah, or is it Divrei Kabbalah? It's a tradition. Now that's difficult because that's why we usually pronounce the word Kuf Beis Lamed Hei, Kabbalah. But on the other hand, why are Nevi'im and Ksuvim Kabbalah more than Chumash is Kabbalah? It's like an odd term. So we should have to discuss, maybe it highlights the fact that despite the fact that Nevi'im phrased the ideas in their own phraseology, that the Gemara says that Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabim B'Signon Echad, no two Nevi'im would prophesy in the same exact terminology. As a matter of fact, Chazal indicate that if a Navi, if someone is giving Nevuah in identical fashion, identical style to a different Navi, that's an indication that he's a Navi Shaka. He's making it up. It wouldn't be so picture perfect. If you were really delivering the Nevuah that you received, the Nevuah that you received, with one exception, is filtered through the style and expressiveness of that particular Navi. The Navi gets the ideas, with one exception. Navi receives the ideas with Marahan of Wood, but then he gives verbal expression to those ideas in his own terminology. What's the one exception? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a conduit. As Chazal described, Shechina medaberes mitach gorom shel Moshe. Shechina was speaking out of Moshe's throat, which may also mean literally that it was an unnatural voice speaking out of his throat. It certainly can, even if that is literal, that captures a larger idea, which is that he was just a mere vehicle to deliver word for word, letter for letter, the nevuos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he was experiencing that unique aspakalaria hameira level of nevuos Moshe, when he was delivering a regular nevuah like any other navi would, so then it was koa bar Hashem. That's the other navi. Chazal pointed out we use koa so like so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me like so. As opposed to Zeh HaDavar, Shasiv HaShem, that's terminology only find by Moshe Rabbeinu, because that is, I'm presenting you directly the actual language of Ribbono Shel Olam. So again, those are two different reasons why we might refer to Nevi'im Miksuvim as Kuf Beis Lamed Hei, either it's Divrei Kivalah, the sermons of the Nevi'im, or Divrei Kabbalah, that we're highlighting the fact that despite the fact that Navi puts the ideas in his own words, but still, he's conveying authentic Nevi'im are conveying ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu accurately, and those ideas are already rooted in Chumash. They're already Kabbalah Mimoshe. Expanding on concepts already in Chumash. No Navi Eila Hadvar, we spoke about this past Sunday. The Navi is not going to, no Navi after Moshe is authorized to convey new ideas of new halachic ideas.
Such as
Rabbein Peretz? Yeah. I'm expanding on what Rabbein Peretz is driving at those approaches. That's why also, now coming back to the content, that's why Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah, like Lo Yalfinan, you cannot learn halachic ideas from Nevi'im Ksuvim, because the role of Nevi'im Ksuvim was to reinforce ideas of Chumash, not to come up with new halachic ideas. That's Eilat Varm. Navi, no post-Moshe Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into us Moshe, and no post-Moshe Navi is going to be conveying new halacha via revelation. Neither subtracting mitzvahs, nor adding mitzvahs, nor adding new halachic details to pre-existing mitzvahs. The Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinan. So it's true. It's a true halachic principle. Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinan. And that's the Gemara's initial explanation as to why it is that we're not, that we need that second pasuk. The Gemara rejects that, but it says it's true, but it's irrelevant here, because we're not actually learning halachic details from these psukim. It's merely a question of defining, learning biblical Hebrew. The Torah tells us the dinim of negicha. It's not that the pasuk in Malachim isn't teaching me more dinim about negicha. It's just helping to figure out how to translate the words in Chumash. But that's what the Gemara first says, a gilui milsa b'alma. That's just revealing fact. Practical facts, not teaching me halachic data. I could have used a secular text also. If I had a secular text written in biblical Hebrew that dates back to the period of Tanakh, found in an inscription, you'd use that to define the terminology as well. That's mere gili milsa. So that's not subject to, it's not adding halachic data, so that's not subject to divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah le'afinan. So Gemara says, 1 second, so now we're back to square one. So why do we need that second pasuk? If it's mir gili milsi bialma, a pasuk from Melachim is certainly a qualified source. Gemara says, nah, the real answer is, because it's not that it's from Nevi'im, it's because of the specific content of that pasuk. Not the provenance of the pasuk, but the content of the pasuk. The content of the pasuk is specifically about an unusual case of the Karnei Barzal, of these artificial horns that Kinana had made or had commissioned from some blacksmith to make for him, that he was holding or maybe strapping onto his head, but there weren't, obviously, Tzidkin did not grow horns. Humans don't have horns. Jews, non-Jews, no humans have horns. Tzidkin didn't have horns growing out of his head. He was holding artificial metal horns. If all I had was that pasuk, I might have misunderstood that Negicha and Chumash only refers to Keren Telusha, artificial horns that I'm holding that tie on to me, but not an organic part of the body of the person or of, more to the point, of the cow. I would have thought that only Keren Telusha is what's being discussed in the Chumash, in the Parshios of Negicha. So that's why I need the second pasuk to tell me, no, the second pasuk is Karnir Ein. The second pasuk is describing organic horns of the animal, the natural horns of the animal. So now I know that Negicha and Chumash covers both Keren Telusha, based on the first pasuk, and Keren Mechuberes, based on the second pasuk. That's the Gemara's answer. Now, Rishonim Rishonim are bothered by the way the Gemara handles this, because the Gemara explains why would it matter if we thought that Negicha in Chumash means only Telusha? The Gemara actually says, well, because then it would have come to the halachic conclusion that the din the Chumash has a parsha Negicha, namely Chatzi Nezek, until it becomes a Mu'ad. I would have thought that din is unique and limited to Keren Telusha, and I would have thought that Keren Mechuberes is a different din. What din? I would have thought that Keren Mechuberes is Nezek Shalim from the outset. Tosa says, 1 second. Stop right there. Let's even say that I would have misunderstood without bringing the pasuk of Zos HaBracha, I could have misunderstood that the Brisa is teaching me that Negicha means only Karen Tulusha. Let's say we would have misunderstood that. So that would have been a misunderstanding of Chumash, and that's a problem. But the Gemara says it would have led not only to misunderstanding of the Chumash, in terms of on the level of Misbar Kroy, how you interpret the Psukim, it would even have led to a mistaken level of Psak Halacha, because that would have drawn the Halacha conclusion that Karen Mechuberes is Muad from the outset, meaning that Karen Mechuberes is Nezek Shalin from the outset. How would I have come to that conclusion, Tosis wants to know. It's an untenable conclusion. It's an untenable conclusion, Tosis says, even if Negicha only means Karen Tlusha, but where did you get that from? And Tosis goes through two ways I could have gotten it, and both he rejects. He says, well, number one, maybe I would have said, well, Karen Tlusha is Chatzi Nezek, and Karen Mechuberes is more Chomer, it's a natural part of the animal's body, that should be Nezek Shalim. Kal v'chomer. The Tosis says, that's out of bounds for Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer cannot do that. As the Mishnayos talk about explicitly later in the parak, later in the Masechta, that there's a principle. Each of the midos shatar judrashos behen kal v'chomer gzeir shava ma'matzino kal prato kal. Each one has his own details in terms of how when it does and doesn't apply and how you can or cannot use it. So one of the details of kal v'chomer is the rule of dayo. And dayo means that if I prove that case B is more chumra than case A, then I can say, well, if A has a certain halachic chumra, certainly B has the same chumra. But I cannot say, then B ought to have even more. And the Gemara derives this principle of dayo, among other places, from the psukim with Miriam. Miriam is chotes, so she's punished. Punished with she's essentially in chayim for a week. She has to remain with Chutz Lamachna for a week. Why? The Kodesh Baruch says to Moshe, if she would have been disrespectful to her father, maybe she would have been in time out for a week. So, now she's disrespectful to her Boshlom. Dot, dot, dot. What's a dot, dot, dot? You should have said 2 weeks, 5 weeks, 100 weeks, a million weeks. Because covered for Boshom ought to be more than covered for parents. So you would have expected at least double, the Gemara says. And yet, we don't say double. They said she would have deserved a week had she been this disrespectful to her father. So she was disrespectful to Kodesh Baruch Hu, soon she should be in time out for a week, not more. Why not more? That's an example of dayo. Kal v'chomer only sets up the din should certainly apply as it applied in the first context, but it doesn't give you grounds to expand it. So Tosa says, you could have made a kal v'chomer, well, if Karen Tulusha is certainly chatzi nezek, so then Karen v'chomer should certainly be chatzi nezek. You can say, should there certainly be more? That's a violation of dayo, like dayenu, with enough. Dayo, l'abam min hadin lios kenida. That's the full text of that principle. It's a sufficient dayo, it's dai, for the ba min hadin, for that which comes from the kal v'chomer, liyos kenidon, to be the same as the nidon, as the source of the din, the source of the kal v'chomer. Again, remember, din, the language of tanam, doesn't mean halachic fact, the way we use it. Din means svara, or specifically kal v'chomer. So Tosa says, you couldn't have just learned it from Karen Talusha, that would run afoul of dai. You would end up just with Chatzi Nezek. So where else would you get it from? Tosa, obviously, you have to get it from the other cases, the other offices, which are Nezek Shalom. Tosa says, 1 second. Could you, let's say Negicha only meant Karen Talusha. Karen Mechuberes is not anywhere in Chumash. So could you could learn it from Karen Talusha, but that would, again, result in merely Chatzi Nezek. Could you learn from Eish and Bar? Shane and Regal? Tosa says, well, Argumar seems to say yes. Tosa says, 1 second. That question is explicitly raised on Hey Amadeh. That's the discussion on Hey Amadeh. Could you learn Karen from the others or not? The Gemara is Machlokas. It's not so pushing. So Tosa wants to know, okay, so the one man Damar Hey Amadeh says, you could have learned Karen from the others. Good. So if the Torah would have said, there we're talking about, let's say there was no Karen at all in Chumash. Here we're talking about more limited. There, let's say there was Karen, but the Karen in Chumash, there was Negicha, but the Parsha Negicha would mean only Karen Tulusha. But it's the same issue. Could I learn Karen, normal Karen Mechuberas, from Shane and Regal and Bar and Esh or not? So Tosa says, it seems like here it's Pashat yes, and there it's a Machlokas. So why do I deal with that? But Tosa's answers, Tosa's raises a nuance that we'll get back to, which is, takes us to the lumdus of Hay and Tezvav. But for now, let's just look at the shock of the tariff of Tosa's answer, Tosa's question, that leaving aside for a moment why, what's driving the machlokas Hay and Beis, which we'll get to, but forget about that. The Gemara does have, clearly, a machlokas Tanoach, machlokas Amaram, excuse me, could you have learned Karen from the others or not? So, and here we seems like everyone agrees yes. How does the argument work? Laman da Amar, that you cannot. So some Rishonim say, okay, maybe our Gemara is following that other Mandamar. The Rajbah raised that suggestion. But our Gemara isn't gay. This is a side point here. There the Gemara actually opened up to the full Machlok. And here we just explained, but still, how would the other Amora read this Raisa? And specifically, once you get into the Lumdus of Daf Hei and Daf Tezvav, you realize that that Mandamar who's on the outs, he's the one that we paskin like, once you pull the pieces together. So this is difficult to say, our Gemara is just stop, not like that Amora, maybe. Maybe our Gemara is following the other Amora. Gotta think about that. But the Rashba's Teretz say our Gemara is following one Amora. That's not the way Tosas goes. Tosas wants to say that no. Our Gemara is a Chaldeis. How could it be? On Hayim and Beis, it's a Machlokas. Could one hypothetically learn Karen for the rest? Here it seems like it's a Chaldeis. The Tosas says you're missing a key point. We're not asking the same question in the two sugyas. Similar, but not the same. And Hayim and Beis, we're asking the fundamental question of why did the Chumash need to have a parasha of Negicha? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have left out Negicha and the Chumash? We would have learned it from the rest. In truth, Tos points out, Hayim and Beis is a question of Itzrich Kra. Did the Pasuk need to be there? And that's a Machlokas. That's Aliba de Emes. Could I really have learned Karen from the rest or not? Well, that's a machlokas in Hayim and Beis. And we'll get to the lumdus of that in a moment. But Beis on Beis, Tosa says, we're not asking why did these psukim appear in Chumash. We're asking the question of why did the Tana feel the need to make such a lengthy presentation. The Tana is making we're not talking about why the parsha of Negicha appears in Chumash. We're saying, now that we have the parsha of Negicha, what do those words mean? And we're not even asking the question of why does the pasuk in Vezos HaBracha need to appear in Vezos HaBracha? Isn't it superfluous? We're not asking that question. After all, we already said that these are mere Giluye Milsa of the Alma. This isn't the din. It's not that no one's arguing, no one's positing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu included that pasuk in Vezos HaBracha to teach us that Negicha means Karen Mechuberes. No. It's a Gilui Milsa. It's just a question of dictionary definition. It's not teaching me the din of Karen Mechuberes. It's just, here's some material to prove, here's some linguistic data to figure out how to define the word of Mishpatim. But it's not the purpose or the objective of the Pazos HaBracha. Pazos HaBracha is there to tell me the brachas of the Shvatim. Whatever purpose, whatever I'm supposed to learn from that. It's not a question of why the Pasuk appear. It's merely a question of why the Tana need to include this pasuk in his brisa. Not why does this pasuk appear in the Chumash? It's the question. It's not a question of Itzrich Kra as it was in Daf Hei, and Daf Beis is merely a question of Itzrich Tana. And Tosis points out, and Rabbeinu Peretz expands this a lot more. That's a very different type of question, and there are different types of answers available. To say why does it appear in Chumash is to explain why austerely, logically, I need this. I could not have derived this din without this pasuk. Or could I have? That's a question of Istrich Kra. Is it needed that Kadosh Baruch Hu try to write as few words as possible in the Chumash? Only what's necessary, is this really necessary? Or could I have, with enough time and care, derived this logically from somewhere else? That's Daf Hei. And the answer is, some say yes, some say no. But here, it's just a question of why the Tana include. That's a lower standard. It could be, and the Tosa says, you're right. If the Tana wouldn't have included the pasuk in Vizos Havracha, if I would thought about it long and hard enough, I would have said, okay, maybe Negicha only means Karen Telusha, but I'll sit and figure out and realize that according to that Amor and that Ha'ed, I can't derive Karen Mechuberes from anywhere else other than Karen Telusha, so I'm left with Chatzi Nezek. That's right. But the Tana wanted to give a clearer presentation so that I don't make the mistake of thinking that I could learn Karen from the rest. In truth, you can't. But one might make a Jew reading this brisa might misunderstand and think you could learn Karen from the rest. But the Tana wanted to be a little clearer. We would not be so comfortable saying that the Chumash has a whole extra pasuk just to be a little clearer. But we are comfortable saying that the Tana includes an extra line in his brisa. The Tana includes extra pasuk as an additional proof text in his brisa in order to make sure his presentation is clear. The different bars, different standards for what gets included in Chumash and what gets included in Brisa. So Tosa says that's the key difference between Daf Beis and Daf Hei. Daf Hei is a machlokas, didn't need to appear in the Chumash. That's a machlokas. Daf Beis is didn't need to appear in the Brisa. And so yeah, it needs to appear in the Brisa. Even if it didn't really have to be, I could have figured out, but it certainly makes it clearer. Something's being here. Hey, we're just asking, what's being added? It could just be clarity is being added. That's fine. But if you're asking, why is it in the Chumash? That's a question of, why do I absolutely need it? It's clearer. Okay, I could have worked hard and figured out from the other psukim. So that's Tosas's answer, the difference between Daf Beis and Daf Hey. And we're doing this in a different order because we have it's one of the joys of Chazara, that you can approach things in a different order. We've been going in order so far. We saw going through the Gemara, and we saw the issue of Divrei Kabbalah. That was the first answer. And now the Karen Mechuberes, Karen Tlusha, that's the second answer. So now we just worked our way through just the Pashit Pshat in Tosas. You remember also, by the way, that the Rashba does discuss Tosas Kasha, as we said before, works on Terus and Tosas Kasha. He actually started, though, even sort of at an earlier point than Tosas. He gets up to Tosas as Kasha. The Kasha Tosas begins with is in the middle of the Rashba's treatment of the Sugya. The beginning of his treatment is, well, he first is trying to figure out, well, maybe I would have arrived at Karen Mechuberes being Nezek Shalem based on Suffolk. Would Suffolk have gotten me here or not? Remember, that's what we discussed earlier. We touched on it in Beis Nam et al, but it appears in the Rashba, Beis Nam Beis, where he raises a suggestion, maybe it's because of Suffolk, the Ayis L'Chumra. And that got into the whole discussion about the bar as well. Okay. Now, in dealing though with Tosas, with Daf Hei, so we also spent some time trying to figure out what's driving Daf Hei. What's driving Daf Hei? What's driving Daf Tezvav? And we got to that. It comes up in Tosas. It also comes up in the later part of the Gemara, because later on Beis and Beis, the Gemara begins to talk about what are the toldos of Karen, and many of them do not involve anatomically the horn, neshicha, revitza, beita. They involve actually shein and regel, literally. So how do they go on to know how are those toldos of Karen? I said, no, you understand. It's not about anatomy. But when we look at the parshas in the Torah, negicha, and shein, regel, we don't see them as describing different. It's categorizing behema hamazika on the axis along the axis of what part of its body the animal use. Instead, the Gemara says it's a question of what's the animal's kavana, right? What's the animal's motivation? What's the animal's intention? What's its goal? Is its goal lahazik? Is it have a violent goal in mind? Is its goal benign pleasure, which is shame? Yeshana lezeka. Doesn't want to ruin someone or something or attack someone or something. It just wants hungry. It wants to eat. That's why the Gemara and Gimel, Leir Gimel said, told us of shame, include, let's say, the animal has an itch. The animal rubs against a wall to scratch its itch, ends up, wasn't such a strong wall, the animal ends up knocking the wall over. It was mazik in the course of just seeking pleasure. It wanted to relieve its itch. That's a told of shein. It doesn't involve the animal's tooth. And a told of regel is where it has neither kavan. It has no kavan. It's just derech ilucho. Just moseying along. Just walking along. No intention whatsoever. That's how the Gemara of the course of Beis and Beis and Gimel Aleph appears to understand Karen versus Shane versus Regal. And we saw Rashi, Rashash, who points out that even before the Gemara gets there, Rashi already is very sure. As soon as the Gemara introduces, again, the told us of Karen, as we saw, are really the Gemara essentially doesn't directly quote the Mishnah on Tezvav and Beis, but essentially that's what the Gemara is doing. The Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah Tezvav and Beis, gives me the list of the five Tamim, five versions of Karen, which are Negicha, Negifa, Neshicha, Ravitza, and Beita. The Gemara there picks up with the Seifa of the Mishnah, presumably because the Reish of the Mishnah is being analyzed right here in Beis and Beis. This is the second half of Beis and Beis is the Gemara on the beginning, the Reish of the Mishnah Tezvav and Beis. As soon as the Gemara quotes the list, Rashi right away makes sure to point out that there's always going to be done to Kavana. Ravitza? That doesn't mean the animal sat down, there happened to be Kalim underneath. No! The animal saw the Kalim and crossed the street in order to lie down, smash those Kalim. Everything's been Kavana. Kavana Mahasik, that's Karen. Now, what's intriguing is when you turn to Tezvav Leveis, at the end of the Sugya of Palganizka Kenosa, Palganizka Mimona, the Gemara has a case that seems to describe as being Karen, and it's not Kavana Mahasik. It's a case of the animal, the dog is eating. This dog has unusual tastes, very atypical canine tastes. Most dogs don't go around eating big sheep. Perhaps we have access to a wide variety of dogs, maybe some larger dogs would. Certainly the dogs that lived in the Bavel, they were not eating big sheep. Small sheep, the Gemara says, yes, big sheep, no. Cats, we're not going around eating large chickens. That's so out of disproportionate for the dog or the cat. The Gemara says at the end of the sugya, if a dog or a cat eats this sort of unusual prey, so that's Karen, and therefore, since you hold Pagodiska Knasa, so it's treated as a Knas. That's very strange. What happened to Kavana Lahazik? No, not Kavana Lahazik. It's Yeshanola Hezeka. So why are we treating that as Karen, rather than as Shane? What changed? What changed? So to appreciate that, you have to remember that what the context of the sugya there was the machlok is again over Palganitzka Kedasa, Palganitzka Mimona. Normally, the Mishnah in Ksubas, the end of the third paragraph, tells us that what? That if the payment doesn't fit the act, then it's a Knas, rather than Mamon. If I'm paying a multiple, two times, four times, five times as much, or I'm paying a davar katz of a fixed amount, then that's a knas. Here, the Gemara is a machlok, later on, Rav Papa, Rehuda ben Yeshua, how do you deal with chatzin nezek? Chatzin nezek of Karen. What's behind the chatzin nezek? You're not paying nezek shalom. So Rehuda ben Yeshua said, it's mamon, because fundamentally I owe nezek shalom, the Torah cuts me a break. It's a pretty rare situation, it's unusual. So we'll give you a discount. The first couple times we'll give you a discount, you only have to pay half. But Papa says, no. Stam shavarim are b'cheska shimur kaimi. Stam shavarim, Karen is beyond what I'm responsible for. And really, I should be totally pater. But the Torah wants to ensure that I'll do be shomer beyond what would normally naturally expect of an owner. So that's why I get a penalty, a slap on the wrist. So almost like a siyag daraisa to make sure that I give more shmir than I naturally would need to. I have to pay a chatzi nezek as a penalty.
No.
Knas is because it's a penalty.
I'm saying, didn't Rav Huna say?
I'm sorry. Did I say it the wrong way around? I'm sorry. Right. Rav Papa says Mamon, and Rav Huna ben Yeshua says Knas. Thank you.
I don't understand why that's true. Because if my shore should have been guarded, and I don't guard it, then it gets out. Why is it that it's mamona? I'm saying, like, as soon as you're paying chatzi nezek, The whole mamon aspect is gone. It's now just turning into knas.
No, because the question is this mamon that I really fundamentally owe or not? So Rav Papa says, really, I should be paying the whole thing. This falls within the natural, the parameters, especially if you think in terms of the Shia B'Shmira as driving the Chiyuv to pay. This really falls within the natural parameters of the Chiyuv Shmira of the Bailam. It's unusual, but it's within the parameters of what I should be responsible for. So fundamentally, I do have to pay for this. Fundamentally, I have to pay the whole thing. The Torah cuts me a break the first two, 3 times.
Cuts you a break and gives you a knas. It's not mamon anymore once they can pay chati nezek.
Why?
Because once mamon means pay the full amount. If you're not paying the full amount, then the whole concept of mamon is gone. You are now being knas.
That's what the
rabbi. Okay, but we possibly father this knas. If whoever wants to go should feel comfortable going. Whoever wants to stay, we'll go for another 5 minutes or so. So, I remember we discuss in laying out the background, the critical background, nafkaminas in practical nafkaminas in whether a payment is knas or mamon. So the Mishnah in Ksubis talks about moda b'knas is pater, while moda b'mamon is chayiv. If I admit that I borrowed money or that I bought something on credit or that I hired a worker and haven't yet paid him, or that I admit that my eish, I'm responsible for nezek of Eish or Bar or Shein or Regel. So then we say Hodos Bal Din Kamei Edim Dam. You're Moda, so that's evidence. Now you're Chayav to pay. By Knas we would not say Hodos Bal Din Kamei Edim Dam. We would say Moda B'Knas is Pater. So that's one question here: is if I'm Moda to Karen Tam, so am I Chayav or am I not Chayav? The other question is the sugya in later in the Masechta in Perek HaChovel and in Gittin elsewhere that you need, practically speaking, only a basin of smuchim can adjudicate a case of Karen, but many cases of mamon can be adjudicated without smuchim, based on the principle of shlichu sadeh. So the question is, can a basin of non-smuchim adjudicate a case of Karen or not? So that's what the Gemara comes to at the end. And the Gemara says, since we hold halacha l'maisa, pagan iska knasa, so the Bezin cannot adjudicate a case of Bezin Bavel, non-smooth, can't adjudicate a case of Karen. And the problem was the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara didn't say Karen. The Gemara at the end all of a sudden gives us this, introduces this new funny case of the Kavod Dachal Imri. So what are you supposed to make of that? So that we saw as the machlokas. Harishon, let's pull the piece together, and I'm glad to take questions afterwards. There was the approach of Tosfos and the Rashba here, and Tosfos Shans in Ksubis. It took one approach to the sugya, whereas the Ritva in Ksubis and the Shitzim Mekubetzas, calling the Riva here, took the other approach. Why is the Gemara getting specific all of a sudden about Kavod da'ochal imri? So the Ritva, the Riva said, don't get too excited about that. We're really making a statement about Karen in general. That Karen in general is you cannot be Dan B'in Bavel. And why did he give that particular example? Ritva gives an answer. Ritva gives an answer. It has to do with the details of Shlichu Sayim. But not really relevant. But what emerges from the Ritva and the Riva is that either way, regardless of whether Pagan is Kekasa or Pagan is Kemimona, this case of Caleb is going to be, which is Mashuna, is going to be Karen. The Tosfos subtly makes the point, that's what the Rav brought out, the Tosfos and the Rashba and the Tosfos Shans in Ksubas, they say, no, the reason why the Gemara introduces this new case is because it's not, we don't just want it, it's a two-for-one deal. We want to tell you, number one, Pagnes Knosses, so Karen, you can't be Dan Karen B'Bavel. We also want to tell you that since Pagnes Knosses, therefore this is a case of Karen. While had I held Pagnes Kimona, this would not be a case of Karen. And this is what the Rav expanded upon, that, and Aaron Cutler as well, that what's happening here is there's a we're pointing out that the question of Pagliska Mono, Pagliska Knossa is not merely a question of, given that something is Karen, do you say Moda Beknas Chayiv Potter, can you be Danet in a Bezin and Bavel or not? But it's actually a question of, more fundamentally, how do you define Karen?
So
do you define Karen as Kavanasa Lahazit? Or, if you pull Pagliska Knossa, that's because you define Karen as being Meshuna. According to the Ritzvan Riva, it sounds like everyone, by the time you get to Daf Tezrava Beis, has changed the definition of Karen from Kavana Lahazik and Daf Beis to Meshuna Daf Tezvav, which is why Kalev, the case of the Kalev, is now Karen. According to the Tosfos and the Rashba, and the Tosfos Shas, that is the Machlokas. The Machlokas hinges on this Machlokas. Machlokas, according to Tosfos, came up on Daf Hei Beis as well. Tosfos interpreted Machlokas on Daf Hei Beis as being this Machlokas, Pagnus Kakasa, Pagnus Kamimona. Gord didn't use that terminology there. He says, yeah, that's the Machlokas, how you define Karen, Kavan Lahazik versus Meshuna. That's going to drive, can I learn from the others or not? Rashi says, I don't know where this machlokas daf hei beis appears. Tosfos says, what do you mean? That's the machlokas daf tezvav. So we suggest that maybe Rashi is aligned with the Ritavan Ksubas. And several fellows pointed out that there are other Rashis that seem to line up in Ksubas and in Bavtam Tezvav. They seem to line up with that approach.
What does
Ritavan Ksubas
say?
Ritavan Ksubas says, regardless of whether you hold Pagnus and Mamona Pagnus Kachnasa, either way, Kalba the Akla Imri is classified as being Karen. And he works hard to give some other answer, but why did the Gemara have to talk about that case, opposed to like Karen in general? He gives an answer. It has to do with the specifics of Shlish Messiah. But it's clear from the Ritzvah, if you read the Ritzvah Sali carefully, it's clear he's assuming that there's no machlokas over the definition, which means that everyone has changed. According to everyone, the definition has changed from Kavana Lahazik to Mishuna, a change which we saw in the Rambam as well, the way he defines Karen versus Shein V'Regel as being abnormal versus normal. And in fact, Shein V'Regel now a single Av, essentially, because they share normalcy. Once the axis, along with the variable that we're using to define them, is not a question of motivation, Shein V'Regel different than motivation, is it Hana or no motivation? Once you're talking about normalcy, frequency, Shein V'Regel are one and the same. So the Rambam adopts the definition of Avos that appears in Yerushalmi, Karen is Shar, and Mave is Shein V'Regel combined. That fits very well with the Psak of the Bavli, the Palganizka Kenasa, and therefore the Shein V'Regel are combined as the normal one, as opposed to Karen, which is the Meshuna one. In a departure from the sugya on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, where it was all about is it Kavana Lahazik or is it have some other Kavana or no Kavana. So that explains why, and once this is all lined up, and we're saying, as the Rav said and the Aaron Kotler said, the definition of Karen changes over the course of the parak, either on Daf Hei or Daf Tezvah, so then we understand well why Tosas might have been hesitant to say, like the Rajba, that, this Gemara is only five one shita on Daf Hei, because look, we know how we pasca in Daf Hei. Once you say, like Tosas, that Daf Hei is really another nafkamina in Pagnus Kiknasa, Pagnus Kimimono, we know we pasca in Pagnus Kiknasa. So to leave that shita out entirely here, Tosas probably found unappealing. And Le'idachisa, the Rajman found it appealing to say the Gemara in Daf Beis is just the shita of Palganiska Memona, because yes, we don't paskin that way, but this sugi is built around Rav Papa, who is the manda amar Palganiska Memona. And the sugi goes on to talk about Kavana Lahazik versus just Derech Hilucham. So it works well that this sugi, Daf Beis Daf Gimel, that's Lefi Rav Papa. That's all about Palganiska Memona, and the differentiating variable between the Avos is Kavana. But with Dev Hey and Daf Tezvav introduce us to the fact that not everyone agrees with Rav Papa, and Daf Tezvav we find that we actually reject Rav Papa, Lehalacha, and that's why we hold that the Kavod of Imri is a form of Karen, and as such, is Chayav Chatzin Nezek, but only if you have Eidim, and only if you have a Beis Din of Smuchim.